Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
How you doing, John?
Oh my God, it is hot.
Yeah.
There's no earthly reason why it needs to be this hot.
Well, you are in the armpit of hell.
Well, yeah, that's exactly where we are. The latest scam is they're going to do away with property tax.
Yeah, how do you fund everything without property tax?
Well, that's just it. You don't.
Oh, okay.
But they don't care. And this governor's on his way out the door anyway because his term's over.
Oh, good. We don't have to ever hear him again. I guess I'll end up on like Fox News or something.
Oh, of course. Yeah, for a while they were floating his wife as the new governor. It's like she has absolutely no fucking business being governor, let alone in politics.
But that doesn't stop the Republicans.
No, it doesn't. It really doesn't.
I mean, you should see in South Carolina right now is the governor's race. And they had the primaries and there's a runoff. And the Republican nominees that are in the runoff are attacking each other with how terrible people they are. And it's like,
right.
I'm sure there's truth in there and like they are horrible people, but like think of the like these are the two horrible people that you get to choose from. And
right.
like it just it blows my mind that this is where we are. Like nobody's qualified, but everybody's running and it's just gonna get fucking abysmal here because these idiots don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Right. Yeah. Did you hear about the drone attempt during the
UFC thing?
Fight. Yeah.
Is that
true? They didn't even tell the president about?
Yeah.
Well, no, of course it's not. It's all bullshit.
Yeah.
I mean, because that was a target you could see from out of space. I mean, if somebody really wanted to do it,
yeah,
we'd be celebrating. But instead, we're going to pay millions of dollars to replace the grass.
Of course. Of course.
Yeah.
And millions more dollars to fix the reflecting pool that they fucked up.
Yep. That they have to have the National Guard guard right now because they think that the Democrats planted the algae in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. I mean, this is idiocracy.
Oh, sure.
This is as stupid as it gets.
We're going to start ordering crops with Gatorade and then we are officially there.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to be wearing Crocs. It's going to be great. Idiocracy was not supposed to be a documentary. There we go. So, yeah. So, have you been watching anything in our time away?
I've been watching. I mean, there's nothing on.
I know.
I've been watching some
suffering as well.
Some odd stuff.
Okay.
I watched the Hugh Jackman, Neil Diamond movie, Song Sung Blue.
Oh,
with Kate Hudson.
Is that him with the like mullet or whatever? Or the bad haircut?
Yeah, you know. Yeah. It's an interesting movie. It's kind of enjoyable.
Okay.
Did not know that this duo, you know, these impersonators, performed at Eddie Vedder's request at a Nirvana concert.
Oh, okay.
And Eddie Vedder was on stage. He sang, I think it was Song Sung Blue with them. And like the whole crowd was like going crazy over it.
Oh.
It's like, okay, that's kind of weird.
So is Eddie Vedder actually in the movie?
Well, a young version of him is in the movie.
Oh, okay.
But you can surf the web and you can find the actual video of it.
Okay.
But, yeah, that was kind of funny.
It's crazy.
Basically he's a musician in a bunch of like different bands, and he's doing, he gets hired to appear at the Wisconsin State Fair when a Don Ho impersonator has to drop out.
Okay.
And he gets in kind of a fight with the guy who's, playing Elvis, because he's also all dressed in black and he's got a t-shirt with the TCB taking care of business lightning bolt on it. And
yeah,
he meets this woman who's impersonating Patsy Cline. Eventually they get married, and it's a fluffy little movie.
Okay. So would you say it was worth seeing?
It's good background movie.
Okay.
You know, to have it on while you're like doing other stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, maybe I liked it because it was Neil Diamond and, you know, I like his music because, you know, I'm old.
Wait. Do you do the white person thing when somebody sings Sweet Caroline?
Bump, bump, bump.
There it is.
Mm-hmm. Sweet Caroline is often played at Boston Red Sox games.
Why?
I really don't know why, because he's a New Yorker. But it is very popular.
Yeah. So it's a tradition at Fenway Park. Fans belt out the lyrics and shouting "so good, so good, so good," and pumping their fists during the chorus. The tradition dates back to 1997 when Amy Toby, the former Fenway Park in-game music director, played the song. She chose the track as a special dedication to her friend Billy Fitzpatrick, whose newborn daughter was named Caroline. The song quickly caught fire with the crowd. By 2002, the tradition was cemented, and the Red Sox began playing it at every single home game during the middle of the eighth inning. So anything can catch on as a meme, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Something you didn't know.
The more you know.
That's right.
Shooting star graphic.
Bum, 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 bum.
Also watched a couple of really odd movies.
Okay.
So, I don't know if you read Slash Film website.
No.
They talked about this movie called Hawk the Slayer. It's a sword and sorcery film. Starring Jack Palance.
Oh.
And he plays the evil older brother of another evil. Yeah, so there's like good versus evil. The younger brother gets the father's magical sword when he dies. Jack Palance is severely disfigured, so he wears this weird helmet that's kind of like Phantom of the Opera style. It like goes over, covers one eye, and the other eye's open.
Okay.
But the movie is so, so horrible. Like, laughably funny. I mean, it's got each of the brothers has their own sorceress that they kind of call on for stuff.
Yeah.
And the good brother is trying to rescue some nuns who were kidnapped by the bad brother. And there are very I Dream of Jeannie Bewitched style movie magic things going on where like there's a really rough cut and everything freezes. And then the next scene has a bad rotoscope special effect.
Oh, geez.
It looks like they went to Toys R Us and just bought a bunch of Day-Glo shit. because there's one teleportation scene where it's like two neon hula hoops that are overexposed. There's another one that kind of looks like it was like silly string being sprayed in like the bad guy's face. I mean, it's horrible. There were like, when the bad guy breaks into the convent, the door flies open and there's like all these magical glowing particles inside.
Yeah.
And the particles are like just those, rubber super balls. It's really terrible. I mean, it's Masters of the Universe 1986 or whatever year that was.
So is this like Conan the Barbarian comes out and everybody's like, oh, we have to make sword and sorcery movies now, and like this was on that pile?
Yes.
Nice. And is Jack Palance is like overacting as he normally is?
Oh, he's just doing it for the paycheck. Oh. Obviously just doing it for the paycheck. He's the only name in the movie.
Okay.
One of the sorceresses is played by Patricia Quinn, who played Magenta in the original Rocky Horror movie. Okay. But nobody else of any name. minor, like British actors.
Yeah.
And it has a soundtrack that very much to me sounded like it was from Chips. Okay. It was like this odd version of like synth with like a driving beat behind it. And I could just see like, you know, Ponch and John going down the PCH on their motorcycles. And it was pretty bad. There's a lot of slow motion Hero riding his horse.
Nice.
Footage. Yeah, it was.
We need filler. What do we put in there? Slow-mo of riding a horse.
Right. Exactly.
We got to pad this thing out, man.
Yeah. I also watched this really bizarre film that Jim Henson produced.
Okay.
Called The Cube.
Cube.
And it's in black and white. It was like a 1-hour teleplay on NBC in 1969. And he wakes up in this black and white cube, and randomly different people are able to come into the cube, but he can't leave because he has to find his own door. So there's like a repair guy who keeps showing up, and he like brings in a telephone for him. And there's the guy who's like the manager of the cube facility. Bizarre. It's really, really freaking weird. Like, think THX 1138.
Huh. Okay.
It's kind of futuristic. There's like this bizarre scene where like two German police officers charge into the room and they start like opening panels in the walls, and there's like gold bullion from a bank in Munich and all this weird stuff. And it's like, okay, I really don't know what I watched.
How did you find this?
A slash film.
Oh, okay.
It said there was a little article on it that, you know, this Jim Henson masterpiece. It's so bizarre.
Where did
it's
you only find an hour.
Oh, YouTube.
Oh.
Yeah.
Weird.
It's very weird. It's very weird. I don't know if you remember the old Cranium Command show at Epcot.
Yeah, with Buzzy.
You're like inside the little boys. Yes.
Yeah.
The Charles Grodin character is in like this black and white grid room, and it's like, oh, I know what inspired that now. Yeah.
Wow.
It's definitely something like, it's something worth checking out, because it's not your typical Jim Henson, you know, there's no puppets in it. Jim does make an appearance in a gorilla suit.
Okay. Oh, yeah, there it is. Jim Henson's lost masterpiece, The Cube.
Yep.
Did you watch it remastered in 4K?
I did, actually. Nice.
All right.
You know, for a kinescope or whatever that was called in the 1960s.
I'm going to add this to my playlist. Wow. So 69 would have been before the Muppets?
I think he had already started. Yeah, he had done his Sam and Friends.
Yeah.
In 55.
Okay.
So yeah, and like during the 60s, like Kermit and Rolf appeared on like talk shows and Ed Sullivan and
so this was his first.
It's the same year that Sesame Street debuted.
So this was his first year. This was his first attempt at like, I have these ideas other than the Muppets that I want to explore.
Right.
And, you know, this leads to like Labyrinth and this leads to Dark Crystal. But like, you know, those were more
definitely
in the vein of what he was known for.
Mm-hmm.
Weird. Who would have known?
Yeah, very, very odd.
Apparently somebody made a music video called You'll Never Get Out of the Cube. And it's a tribute to his cult classic Jim Henson movie. Weird. Yeah, there was a movie in like the late 90s called The Cube where people wake up in a cube and can't get out.
Right. And they find these strange doors and
yeah.
Isn't that the one where it was like an elevator? Like it can move in all directions and like some people would try to escape it and then, you know, they get severed in half or
I think so. There were like traps and shit for sure.
Yeah. Probably the predecessor to Saw.
Yeah, probably. But I wonder if that movie took any kind of inspiration from the Jim Henson one.
It's pretty spot on.
Yeah.
I would think. I mean, I don't think I watched it all the way through, but I remember different scenes in it.
Yeah.
And like at the end, they get out of the cube, and it's like they're on top of like this elevator, and yeah.
Yeah, I don't see anything. Oh, so apparently the inspiration for the 90s movie was a Twilight Zone episode called Five Characters in Search of an Exit.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if I feel like I've seen all the Twilight Zone episodes, but I don't know if I've seen that one. Oh, it's got a clown in it. Clown and a guy with bagpipes. Weird. A military major, a female dancer, a bagpipe player, a clown and a hobo who wake up together in the bottom of a well and none know how they got there. That's weird.
That episode also inspired an episode of Felicity.
Oh, the true American classic.
Yes.
That's where J.J. Abrams got his start, wasn't it?
Yes, I think so.
Have you, did you watch the new Spider-Man trailer?
No, I didn't. No.
It's interesting. I don't know if and when you're going to watch the movie. But they're now playing with the idea that the spider bite gave him more than just like fast reflexes and strength.
Okay.
So he's got, I mean, it's not a spoiler if you're going to watch the trailer, but like, and if, did you see the first trailer?
Yes.
So like, he's turning basically into Man Spider from the comics.
Okay.
And they've kind of confirmed a lot of the ideas of like organic web shooters and shit like that. So it looks interesting. Punisher seems to be in it a lot. They keep saying that the big bad guy is Jean Grey, and that's how they're going to introduce the X-Men. Although Jean, outside of being Dark Phoenix, was never really a villain. So,
right.
I don't really know if that's going to work out the way that Marvel wants it to work out, but who knows.
Huh.
You excited about Shrek 5?
No.
No?
No. Are you excited about the Grinch Part 2?
I don't know. Is there really anything more to say with the Grinch?
You know, it's in the same category as movies people don't really care about.
No, and not only has it been done live action, but there have been animated Grinch movies since then that have built into the lore of the Grinch. And I don't know, man, like there's so much fluff.
Ron Howard's behind it.
I know, but there's so much fluff in the original. Like, do I really care about him as a baby? Do I really care about like him trying to sleep with the one chick? Like,
right.
Not really. Like, that's not what the original cartoon was or the original story. So I don't know. And Jim Carrey said that he would only do it if he didn't have to wear the makeup, which means it's going to be CGI'd anyway. So what the fuck, man? I don't know. Ron Howard has a real hit and miss past, so.
Yeah, that's for sure.
You know, I don't know. He does things like Apollo 13.
Who are the ninjas in the trailer?
Huh?
Who are the ninjas in the trailer?
That's the hand that is a big Daredevil enemy.
Oh.
And if you notice, they're in a prison.
Right.
And Matt winds up in prison in the last episode of Daredevil.
Oh.
So I think he's there. I think he takes, so Spider-Man in the trailer takes MJ to the Punisher to keep her safe. And I think at some point the Punisher says, like, Peter asks him, like, do we know anybody that can help? And my guess is that Punisher says, I know a guy, but you're going to have to go get him. And that being Matt. So I don't know. That would be my guess.
Okay. Interesting.
Because in the original trailer, there's also a shot of Peter fighting the hand where they're outside and Peter's on one side of the screen jumping towards them, and they're on the top right of the screen jumping down, and there's a big empty spot under Peter that would be the perfect spot for Daredevil.
Okay.
So I don't know. It would be weird to have a Daredevil villain show up in Spider-Man without Daredevil showing up at some point. But I don't know.
Very interesting.
Yeah. You going to go see Toy Story 5 in the theater?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I think we watched Toy Story 3 at least 3 times with the baby this past week.
Nice. I mean, at least you watched the really good one.
Right.
But have you seen, did you see any of the interviews with Joan Cusack?
I saw her in person.
How long ago?
Promoting this about 3 weeks ago.
Did she sound weird?
Yes.
Okay.
But I think she's always sounded weird.
Well, she has a unique voice, but this sounded like the interview that I saw with her. It almost sounded like she had had a stroke. Like she, like it was more difficulty in talking than like just age related stuff. But I don't know. I looked it up online and I didn't see anything about any kind of medical issues with her, because I guess for Toy Story 4, she didn't go out. She didn't promote it. And
no, she hasn't been in like the public eye for like, what, 15 years?
Yeah. So that's why when she did this and I heard her voice, I was like, oh, did she have a stroke? And like, kind of walk away from the spotlight or whatever, but everything that's online says that she left to like be with her family or whatever.
Right.
So I don't know. So yeah.
We had some celebrity deaths in the past couple of weeks.
Did we? Who did I miss?
Most recent was James Burrows, TV director.
Oh, yeah.
Who was one of the co-creators of Cheers.
Yeah. I remember seeing that. He was a big responsible name for a while.
Oh, yeah. I mean, 2 and a Half Men, Frasier, Friends, Taxi, directed some Big Bang Theory, Two and a Half Men, Will and Grace, Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Wow.
Yeah. And he was well-liked, which is, I don't know, kind of an interesting thing in Hollywood these days. Yeah.
Wow.
He was 85 years old.
Still too young.
Surrounded by his family. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
They haven't mentioned cause of death, but I would figure 85 years old, things go wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. 11 Emmy Awards.
Wow. That's a good run.
Yeah. Yeah, between 1980 and 1996, he was nominated every single year.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. We also lost Gene Shalit.
Oh, the movie critic.
Who was Yeah.
The big,
with the crazy hair and the handlebar mustache. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, he was like the like when movie reviewers were actually like, I don't want to say celebrities because I don't want to give him that much credit, but like being a movie reviewer back in the 80s was like a big deal. And like you had Siskel and Ebert, and then you had Gene Shalit. And yep. like, yeah, he would, and I got to believe like the big mustache and the big hair was always so that people remembered him. And, you know, like people would be like, oh, yeah, that dude, that's the dude that I pay attention to.
Right.
But I really feel like movie critic shouldn't be a job.
But how do people make decisions if there's not some random person who can sum it up for you and save you that, you know, $20 a head for going to the movie theater?
But see, I'm the person that whenever a critic says that the movie's shit is the movies that I like. And, yeah. you know, I'm not going to take the word of somebody else on my entertainment. Like, yeah, I hear all kinds of things are shit that I like. So, you know, it's always that Rotten Tomatoes thing where like the critic score is really low, but the audience score is really high. Like, they just don't understand what people want. So it's they're like the original influencers, and that fucking, you know how much I hate that fucking term. That should be like, oh, you're an influencer? Okay, then you're immediately kicked out of wherever you are. Sorry.
Right. Yep. Find a real job.
No, they want to go to
theme parks.
We have
one more death, which was a little sad.
Okay.
So I had just seen a couple of announcements that this actress had passed away, and then I was looking for, like, you know, credits and stuff. And this was the little girl who was in The Ring, and she was the voice of Lilo in the original animated Lilo and Stitch.
Yeah, she died at like 35?
Of meningitis.
Of meningitis, yeah.
However, there's video that has surfaced that she apparently had been living on the street in downtown Las Vegas.
Oh.
And her business manager had been trying to search for her and find her, and they haven't been able to, but there's a picture of her like lying on like dirty blankets, and she's like super, super thin, and like her hair's fallen out.
Wow. That's crazy.
I guess she had substance abuse problems.
Yeah, that, I mean, kid actors fall into that a lot.
Yep. Oh, she was on heroin and fentanyl.
I mean, she worked pretty regularly up until 2016.
Yeah, she was in Donnie Darko. Yeah. Apparently she made millions in residuals from The Ring, but she was too far gone on the drugs to actually collect it.
Jesus.
It's like, that's sad.
And you would think that somebody would be there to help her. Like her manager or her parents or somebody. Right. Apparently she retired from acting in 2016. I don't know if that was forced retirement or basically they were like,
her manager says she's been missing since she missed a meeting in 2015.
Oh,
she was supposed to have a meeting with Rob Reiner for a role.
Oh, whoops. Wow. That's sad.
Yeah. Very sad.
Well, maybe they'll dedicate the next Lilo and Stitch movie to her for all the good that'll do.
Well, I don't know. We've had the hand-drawn. We've got the live action. Maybe they'll go and do a CGI one, like
a full CGI.
Well, actually the live action one was pretty much CGI, so never mind.
Yeah, there is no more live action Disney movies. It's always going to be at least half CGI.
Well, that's the future. And now that Disney's going all in on AI.
Disney will go in on AI until it bites them in the ass. And then they'll be like, oh, we don't know how it got so out of hand.
Yeah, they're saying that it will be very ethically done. And
okay,
we'll see how that happens. We're using Adobe Firefly right now.
As it demolishes the world's water supply.
Right. Have you seen any of the postings going around where people are talking about how whatever you do, don't post bamboo, don't plant bamboo around data centers. It'll burrow underground and be difficult to remove and cause so much damage. Don't do it.
Sounds like an invitation to me.
Yeah, right?
Man. It's amazing how quickly we sped up the end of the world.
Well, you know, it's Cyberdyne. We've already got Starlink.
Yeah.
So at some point, it's just going to suppress us all and turn us into food. Plug us into the Matrix.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that sleep will be really good then. Maybe we're in the Matrix now. Maybe it's already happened.
You know, could be.
That's the only explanation for the bullshit that goes on now.
But I take a red pill every day and I don't feel any different.
That only works in the movies. They're not going to tell you how to get out.
Right, exactly. It's the cube.
That's right. That's right. You wake up every day, you go to your shitty job, you work there for a bunch of years, and then you quote unquote retire to die.
Mm-hmm.
Yay, life. What a fun world.
Have you watched anything this week?
I didn't really watch a whole lot. I'm rewatching The Boys since the last season just ended. And there was a bunch of stuff because it's so long between seasons. Like, I didn't go back and watch it before. And some of the things in the last season had me like wondering if that had been in the show before. So I've been rewatching that all. And it is batshit crazy in a lot of it. There is a lot of nudity. There is a lot of like, really off the wall things just because I think they were pushing to see how far they could go and Amazon never pushed back. So yeah, there's some really fucked up stuff in it. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that I've been watching, is a show on Amazon called Clarkson's Farm. And it's
okay.
It's he used to be one of the presenters on Top Gear, in England.
Right.
And I found that show, I think through BBC America at some point. And like, they genuinely made me laugh, even though I'm not a car guy. So I started to follow them and he had bought a farm and they basically do a show where like he tries to run the farm, but he has no clue what's going on. And so he's fucking things up and like, The idea is to show farming for what it really is, not like a romanticized version of it. So there's things, especially in this season, where they have cows and they're breeding the cows for the meat, and the cows are trying to have their calves and one of them gets stuck. So like, they're not blurring anything out. They're not like,
oh God,
they're
up
just
to the elbow.
Well, no, not even that. Like the placenta comes out first and is hanging down, and then like the calf gets stuck. So they have to go in and pull out the calf. And it's all like they're covered in blood, and like, one of the calves gets pneumonia and they have to put the calf down, and they show it all because they want people to understand that like, this is what farmers go through. And like, while there are laugh out loud parts to it, there's also like, you get choked up because of like watching these people who have raised these animals have to put them down and stuff like that. And, but like one of the funny parts is, he's got a dog, a farm dog that he wants to breed. So they bring in another dog that's when his female dog is in heat, and they're standing there, and the dog, instead of getting up behind the female and humping her from the back, like starts humping her face. And they're like, no, that's, you're in the wrong position. And they're like yelling at a dog that doesn't understand English at all. And like, they're then like, do we pull them apart? I don't want to touch that. Like, it's really funny, but really sad at the same time for a lot of the stuff. So, that's been an interesting watch over the last, I think this was like season five. And every season there's a new, like, they're trying to show you a different aspect of the farming lifestyle. And I give those people a lot of credit because they're up at like the crack of dawn. They work until like past dark, and you know, without them, where would we get our food from? So it's interesting. But like Clarkson is kind of hard to take at times because he is pompous and arrogant, and like, he was a rich Londoner who decided that, oh, I'll just buy a farm, and then got humbled by trying to run it. So it's an interesting show. But I mean, that's really all I've watched.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I've seen any movies or anything. Did you see that The Burrows got canceled?
Yes. Netflix?
What the fuck, man?
Yeah.
I mean, and I know that they're saying that it's because the Duffer Brothers took that deal to go, what was it, Paramount or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Wherever they were going, and that's what kind of killed it. But it was like, you could have run that show without the Duffer Brothers. Like, I feel like, because they were just the executive producers, they weren't the ones that like came up with the show or anything. So,
right.
You know, that's kind of a shitty thing to do to that filmmaker.
Yeah, it is.
I guess Gina Davis was kind of pissed off that like there was such a big announcement about it, where I guess she was like, it should have just gone away. Like, why even like make a big announcement that they're not renewing it?
Right.
But yeah, it's one of those one season and out, Netflix deals. Like they did everything else. At least they didn't cancel it like 2 days after releasing it, because they've done that in the past. But I don't know. There's movies I want to see. I just haven't had the opportunity.
Why? You busy?
Yeah. I work. Oh. I do stuff. I have hobbies. Yeah. Like, I really want to see Disclosure Day.
Do you?
Yeah. It's a Spielberg film.
I don't know.
He's got a really good track record with alien movies besides Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Yeah.
I mean, other than that, even War of the Worlds was fun to watch, even though you had to sit through Tom Cruise. I mean, it's got a really good cast in it. So, yeah, I want to see that. I'd like to see Masters of the Universe, too.
Yeah, I would like to see that.
I keep hearing good things about it. Like, if you grew up in the 80s and watched the cartoon at all, like, they're like, you're going to love this movie. So, I don't know. I do feel like I've fallen behind in how much I've gotten to the movies this year. Although I think I'm going next weekend for Supergirl, so.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, my kid really wants to see it, so I'll take her. Watch it. Watch, what's his name? Try to be Lobo. Jason Momoa.
Momoa?
Yeah. Hopefully he's not too much to handle.
Come on, the character's Lobo. It's going to be over the top.
I know.
Maybe it'll be another Morbius.
I don't know. Like, people are saying that the movie is really good. Like, if you like the Superman movie, you're going to kind of like this. And Millie Alcock's really good in everything I've seen her in. So, you know, I have some hope for the movie. It looks a lot like Guardians of the Galaxy for me, though, which is a little off-putting, but, you know, whatever.
Okay.
Well, I just think that, I think for the time, Guardians of the Galaxy worked, but in repeat viewings, it's just like too much at times. Too over the top.
Okay.
I don't know. Who knows? Yeah, I don't really have anything else on my list.
No?
No. Do you?
Apparently, Kurt Russell will be doing his first con at
Where?
Fan Expo Chicago.
Oh.
Take a guess at what his standard autograph price is.
For just the autograph?
Just the autograph.
$300.
That bingo.
Really?
$299.99 for an 8x10 photo only. For $399.99, you can do a larger photo or comic book or books, magazines, scripts, newspapers, sports cards, DVDs, action figures, Funko Pop. For $499.99, you can do a shield, props, clothing, and sports equipment. And the photo op is $249.99.
Fan Expo is killing. Well, I'm sure he's got some say in what they're setting, but like, and the fucking line for him will be outrageous. But
oh, and he's only doing 2 days, and it's going to sell out before you even walk in the door.
Yeah, $500 to have like a prop replica signed is fucking stupid. Right. I really wish there was some way that they could be like, they could figure out if you're a reseller or not. Because right.
Well, now they just assume everybody's a reseller.
Yeah, and that's the problem, because like I'm used to make shit for people to sign because I wanted something special. Right. And you can't have that anymore because fucking because of the fucking resellers. So, yes, mm-hmm. I'm going to spend $500 on something to get signed. Like that's crazy.
Yeah.
I really miss the old days.
The Phelps twins from Harry Potter go for $150
for each. Both of them. Oh, each.
Yep. Each.
God,
I mean, the cost is just crazy these days.
I remember them at MegaCon. Like, do you remember the days of MegaCon when they had celebrities within the dealer room? Uh-huh. So like you'd have a comic book seller, and then you'd have a celebrity, and then you'd have like somebody selling like masks or whatever.
Right.
And you could just like walk up to the table and talk to them and shit. I remember when they were kids and they were shooting the Harry Potter films, they went to a MegaCon, and I want to say it was like $50 for both of them. And, you know, they would talk to you and you'd walk up to them and shit. And like, now it's just so fucking stupid. How does anybody afford it? I don't understand.
I don't think average people do anymore. I think these are the people who take orders online and they show up with like 10 or 20 different pieces and charge them, you know, 20, 30% on top of what it costs.
Yeah. Jesus.
I mean, I'm really at the point where it's like, it's not worth it for me to go because I'd be like paying to go shopping.
Yeah. And we've been, you and I have been to them where like you wanted to get somebody's autograph and we waited in a line and like, they barely even looked at you.
Right.
So what is like, what's the memory there? Like besides the autographed picture,
mm-hmm.
like I just, that shit always bothers me.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Now you can still get Martha Plimpton from the Goonies for only $60.
I'm sure there's some affordable celebrities.
Yeah.
But it would have to be somebody that I really wanted to meet.
Well, and now they're all like starting at like $40 if you want Ernie Reyes Jr. from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I mean, even 40 is way more than I would be willing to spend on anybody. As much as I would love to meet Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
No way am I even thinking about spending that kind of money.
Yeah. Any of that stuff, when like they have the Star Wars people there and like, you know, I think Hayden Christensen is somewhere around the $300 mark for stuff. And it's like,
yep.
I can't justify spending that for anything. No. You know, when I think the last horror convention that I went to in North Carolina where I had something signed, that had to be, well, that was the Edward Furlong thing where he pissed me off. And that was like $80 to have him sign the 3D printed thing.
Yeah.
And he was a complete douchebag. but like the year before that was the year that I met Nick Castle, who directed Last Starfighter. And he was like $50 to sign the prop. And I had a full on conversation with the dude, and I felt like, you know, you get your money's worth.
Right.
So I'm sure that there are people, and there are probably people that I would pay up to like $100 for an autograph for. But there's not many, not anymore.
No. You can get Pauly Shore for $60.
You know what? He'd probably same cost
as Piggy the dog from Deadpool.
for you know, for all the bullshit that people give him, I bet he's probably understands why he's there and is probably fun to meet.
I would think so.
I would think that Pauly Shore would probably be worth the money in a weird way. I mean, I told you my Matthew Lillard story, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean when I watched him interact with people, I was like, that's a dude that I would pay money to meet because right. He gets it. He understands why he's there and he genuinely seems to like meeting people. I need to get my kid to a con where Matthew Lillard is. Because I would pay for that interaction for sure.
There was some photos going around this past week because he was making an appearance at the Indiana Comic Convention. And there are photos of him with fans that paid, you know, hundreds of dollars to meet him where he's just standing there. Like, he's not posing. He's not interacting with them.
Wait, who's this?
Nicolas Cage.
Oh, Nicolas Cage. Oh, yeah. I did see that.
Yeah, they paid $250 for a photo op. And they've got, like, a Brady Bunch grid where it's other celebrities who actually interact with you during the photos. Like, there's a woman who's got Tobey Maguire, like, it looks like she's carrying a piggyback, and there's Norman Reedus pulling a gun on three women who are kneeling down with the hands behind their heads, and you know, all these cool photo ops. Like, the cast of Supernatural is like notorious for that.
Yeah.
And then there's the picture of Nick Cage, and it's like he's not even acknowledging that they're in a photo together.
Yeah, I saw that. Like, I saw one where, like, I guess it was people who were all dressed up as his different characters.
Yeah.
And he's, like, completely ignoring them in the picture. And I'm like, wow.
That's sad. Who does he think he is? Nicolas Cage?
He's Ghost Rider and he's Spider-Noir.
And he's the guy that Cher says, step out of it when she slaps him in Moonstruck. I don't know. I mean, looking at these pictures, I don't see them any different than like a Susan Sarandon or, you know, he does almost look like he's a cardboard cutout. He's doing the exact same pose in every picture.
Of course.
Oh, here's one with the Ghostbusters where he's pointing. Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. Good times.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah. All right, you got anything else?
You check my list. No.
Okay. All right. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on Facebook and YouTube and let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week.
Don't try to confuse the issue with half-truths and gorilla dust.